necessarily like goldfish too, is one of the great cognitive milestones of human development. Toddlers become entranced by the discovery that there are other minds out there, different from their own. Why is a two-year-old so terrible? Because she is systematically testing the fascinating and, to her, utterly novel notion that something that gives her pleasure may not actually give her parents pleasure. The truth is that even as adults, we never lose that fascination. What is the first thing that we want to know when we meet a doctor at a social occasion? It isn't, what do you do? We know sort of what a doctor does. Instead, we want to know what it means to be with sick people all day long. We want to know what it feels like to be a doctor, because we're quite sure that it doesn't feel at all like what it means to sit at a computer all day long, or teach school, or sell cars. Such questions are not dumb or obvious. Curiosity about the interior life of other people's day-to-day work is the most fundamental of human impulses, and that same impulse is what led to the writing you are now listening to. All of the stories in What the Dog Saw come from the pages of The New Yorker, where I had been a staff writer since 1996. Out of the countless articles I've written over that period, these are my favorites. I've grouped them into three categories. The first section is about obsessives and what I like to call minor geniuses. Not Einstein and Winston Churchill and Nelson Mandela and the other towering architects of the world we live in, but people like Ron Papil, who sold the Chop-O-Matic, and Shirley Polakoff, who famously asked, "Does she or doesn't she? Only her hairdresser knows for sure." The second section is devoted to theories, to ways of organizing experience. How should we think about homelessness or financial scandals or a disaster like the crash of the Challenger? The third section wonders about the predictions we make about people. How do we know whether someone is bad or smart or capable of doing something really well? As you will see, I'm skeptical about how accurately we can make any of those judgments. In the best of these pieces, what we think isn't the issue. Instead, I'm more interested in describing what people who think about homelessness or ketchup or financial scandals actually think about homelessness or ketchup or financial scandals. I don't know what to conclude about the Challenger crash. It's gibberish to me, neatly printed, indecipherable lines of numbers and figures on graph paper. But what if we look at that problem through someone else's eyes, from inside someone else's head? You will, for example, come across a story where I try to understand the difference between choking and panicking. It was a piece inspired by John F. Kennedy Jr.'s fatal plane crash in July of 1999. He was a novice pilot in bad weather, lost the horizon, as pilots like to say, and went into a spiral dive. So I had a pilot take me up in the same kind of plane that Kennedy flew, in the same kind of weather, and I had him take us into a spiral dive. It wasn't a gimmick. It was a necessity. I wanted to understand what crashing a plane that way felt like, because if you want to make sense of that crash, it's simply not enough to just know what Kennedy did. The picture problem is how to make sense of satellite images, like the pictures the Bush administration thought it had of Saddam Hussein's weapons of mass destruction. I got started on that topic because I spent an afternoon with a radiologist looking at mammograms, and halfway through, completely unprompted, he mentioned that he imagined that the problems people like him had in reading breast x-rays were a lot like the problems people in the CIA had in reading satellite photos. I wanted to know what went on inside his head, and he wanted to know what went on inside the heads of CIA officers. I remember at that moment feeling absolutely giddy. Then there's the article after which this book is named. It's a profile of Cesar Millan, the so-called dog whisperer. Millan can calm the angriest and most troubled of animals with the touch of his hand. What goes on inside of Millan's head as he does that? That was what inspired me to write the piece. But after I got halfway through my reporting, I realized there was an even better question. When Millan performs his magic, what goes on inside of the dog's head? That's what we really want to know. What the dog saw. The question I get asked most often is, where do you get your ideas? I never do a good job of answering that. I usually say something vague about how people tell me things, or my editor Henry gives me a book that gets me thinking, or that I just plain don't remember. When I was putting together this collection, I thought I'd try and figure out that